Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless.
So this thing about prosperity of the soul and how it manifests itself in every aspect of your life, I mean, you think about every life category, not just your spiritual life, but your work and your relationships and your marriage and, you know, your parenting and also your recreation and your hobbies and all of these things, including how you think about yourself and how you take care of yourself and how you improve, you know, like going, you know, to classes and getting educated or whatever it is you're doing to improve upon your life. The Holy Spirit is in all of that. And the Lord wants to bring prosperity to every aspect of your life, including your finances, but not limited to that. And so when we think about that, we think about the joy that can come in our lives, that can bring just that great sense of assurance that the Father is with us no matter what, no matter what our circumstance. And then this peace that settles over us, because no matter what triggers our anxiety in life, we have a place where we can pray to the Father and we know that He hears our prayers, and then the peace of the Lord guards our hearts and our minds. And we brought it into this place then of this living righteously before God. Those three things, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that sums up the kingdom of God on the earth as it is in heaven. And the kingdom of God is within you. And so that's kind of bringing you up to speed. So with that as a backdrop, we did talk a little bit about what we would call unrighteousness or sin. And I didn't want to land on there and then park it there for very long. All I wanted to say was this, that anytime we talk about the words sin, unrighteousness, you really just need to understand that what I'm saying is any behavior, whether that is behavior like of omission or even like active behavior towards something that is contrary to who God has made you to be, that is pulling you away from God's original design for your life and causing a distraction in your life, that's really a dysfunctional behavior. And that's really what we're talking about with unrighteousness, because God wants righteousness to reign in your life, and He wants your righteousness to not only be established in the place of your behavior, but also in the place of your being. And that's paramount. Because you will not have right standing with God based entirely on your behavior. It's not going to happen. The only righteousness that we have is the righteousness that was a gift from God by putting our faith in the man Christ Jesus. And He gives us this gift of righteousness. And now our behavior begins to reflect that, because that's who we are. We're a righteous people. We carry that with us. He clothes us in that. And so with that as a backdrop, I just want to talk to you a little bit about this dysfunctional behavior. And let's just imagine that anytime we have a dysfunctional behavior in our life, it's probably because of one of two things. It's either trying to mask or anesthetize the pain in our life, or it's trying to meet a legitimate longing in an illegitimate way. God has placed longings in our heart. He created human beings with longings that are directly connected to His desires for our life. He wants us to have these longings met, these longings fulfilled. But anytime we try to short circuit the process, and we try to fulfill those longings in illegitimate ways, ways that God has not intended for us to fulfill those longings, then that is what we would call a dysfunctional behavior, unrighteousness or sin. And so we have to understand that it's not just about, when we think about changing our lives, it's not just about behavior modification. Because the reason why we do what we do is linked deeper into the place of our hearts. It's linked in the place of us having unfulfilled longings. Now, with that kind of in our thinking here, I want to just talk to you a little bit about one of the greatest longings of the human heart, and that is to belong. If you imagine the dysfunctional behavior in your life, if it's not connected to, you know, just trying to numb the pain, if it's connected to an attempt to get a legitimate longing met in your life in illegitimate ways, it probably has something to do with the longing to be with other people, to be accepted, to be embraced. Think about it. And so what I want to talk about are some of the, I guess what we would call like the definitions for belonging. And I've been talking to my daughter, Rachel, and she's amazing. She's finishing up her psych degree. And I'm also personally interested in all of this and have been for some years, just the way that groups of people function and work and what that's all about. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about were these different models of belonging. So social scientists, when they talk about models of belonging, they call it a set. And the first set that I want to talk about, because in our Christian experiences, we find ourselves in one of a few sets or categories of belonging. This is really important for us because when it comes to our Christian experience, we need to understand that we could be finding ourselves in a set or a category of belonging that is less than God's perfect desire for our lives. The first set that we want to talk about is called a bounded set. Now, some of us, when we hear the word bounds, we might think in terms of boundaries, which has a healthy component to it. But in a bounded set, we have to understand that there are clear boundaries, but this, what this does is it establishes clear lines of demarcation. And I'm going to use this whiteboard, and I'm going to say that there is four distinct bounds. And the first one up here is called belief. Now, some of you, you've come into groups of people where your primary entrance into that group was that you agreed with what they believe in. Okay, so in a bounded set, belief is one of the entry points in. And what you'll know about a bounded set is that there are clear lines of demarcation between what's in and what's out. Who's in and who's out? Second is the bound of behavior. I'm talking about the behavior, like, for example, when I was a kid, as a boy, my hair could not be long enough to touch the collar of my shirt. Women could not wear open-toed shoes. And the closed-toed shoes that they wore could not show, get this, toe cleavage. Oh my gosh! And there were people whose jobs it was in that church to make sure that your behavior followed the bounded set. And if it didn't follow the bounded set, then you would have a talking to. And sometimes, okay, and we'll get more further into this, sometimes it got to the point where they would, and I met a gentleman this last week, prayed with him, just he's a 40-year-old man just weeping because he was experiencing a trauma that occurred when he was 13 years old, and it was triggered when he came into the church. And what happened at 13 was he was brought up in front of everybody, and all of his sins, his dysfunctional behavior, were aired out in front of everybody, and he was told, or everybody was told, not to associate with this kid because of his behavior. And so clearly he was in a bounded set. And some of you have been in bounded sets that were that clearly defined. And so this boy was actually ejected out of the church, and he had not been back in the church for many, many, many years. And still, when he came back, even though now he's in his 40s, he had memories of when he was 13 years old that were still triggering, very much alive. And so one of the things about the bounded set then is that they often will have some form of service. They'll call it service, but it has to do with purpose. One of the earmarks of a highly bounded set is that their purpose isn't always towards something. It's usually against other things. They're clearly against certain things. And in order for you to be in the bounded set, you have to be against those same things. I'll move forward with this. The fourth thing about the bounded set is what we would call melt. We know America as the melting pot because of all these different cultures that have come in. But honestly, America is not really a melting pot, a blending pot. But in a bounded set, your individuality goes out the window for the sake of you belonging. You cannot, I mean, you have to conform to the bound it's set. You have to lose your sense of personhood. You have to lose a certain element of who you are. Let me just say this about the bound it's set. In order for you to be in and maintain your place in and have a sense of security, because remember, this is linked to a legitimate longing to belong, the ultimate goal here is mastery. You have to know the beliefs, you have to know the behavior, you have to master these things. So it's about mastery. All right, let me move forward here in my notes because I've jumped into a place where I want to be, which is this. A bounded set, honestly, has more to do with form than it has to do with substance. Yes, sir, Jimmy. Number three, it has to do with purpose or service. In other words, you sign up for the mission. Now, this is where it gets confusing for us because we grow up in church environments where it's all about the vision, which I don't want to confuse that. It's okay for us to have a vision as a people, but it's not okay for you to lose your sense of identity, your sense of uniqueness in the Lord and who you are for the sake of serving someone else's vision, for the sake of serving the institution's vision. If it's only going to be set in that way of you serving the system, as opposed to the system of institutions serving you for the sake of you coming. We'll get to that in a minute, okay? So form is valued over substance in the bounded set. Mastery is paramount. It's what we call legalism. And it's not just fundamentalism, because any group, whether it's a liberal group or a Pentecostal group or a charismatic group or any group, can fall into a bounded set. There is another set, however, that I want to introduce you to. You probably heard me say this before. It's called the center set. I'm going to write it down here. Center, as in the middle. Center. Tracking with me? Different. Who's in the center of our Christian experience? Jesus is in the center of our Christian experience. And so the rules of who's in and who's out morph drastically in the center set. Because honestly, Jesus established center set when he met the woman caught in adultery. And he displayed the desire of God for us to be center set, Christocentric. He defined that in practice when he met the demoniac in the graveyard. And the demoniac came towards Jesus. When the woman who broke the alabaster jar and poured out the expensive perfume, she came towards Jesus. And yet all of those who were in the bounded set of the religious order reeled back from that. I think in that particular instance of the woman who worshiped Jesus with the expensive perfume, that to me was the turning point for Judas. Because he was unable to enter into center set and the idea that it doesn't matter exactly where you are and how far away you might be perceived as being from Jesus. It's really about movement and direction. It's really about turning towards and moving towards Jesus. And in the center set, you're embraced not because you have mastered the beliefs and the behavior, because quite frankly, there are some who are going to want to come in and belong who will take years perhaps to master the behavior of what Jesus has created them to be. Uniquely, individually, who they are. And Jesus would say, I want you to be you. I want you to be free. I don't want you to be conformed into the image of the bounded set. I want you to be conformed into the image of my life in you. the life of Christ. We don't have to be whole to be embraced in the center set. We have to be enamored by Jesus. You see, what happens in the bounded set is all of your wounds and your brokenness and those areas of your life that are dysfunctional, they go into hiding because of that deep longing to belong. And yet in the center set, you belong when you are moving towards Jesus in whatever phase of your journey you're in. Now, I will talk about a couple other sets later. The first one I'll mention now, it's called the fuzzy set. And that's where there is a clear in and out, but no one knows how they got in and no one knows how they can get kicked out. So there's fear in that set. And then there's this set that is connected with the center set, and it's known as the formational set. And that is where when we begin in our infancy with Jesus, regardless of our age, chronologically, and we move towards him in this journey of faith, we are maturing into Christ. And so there's things that are forming in us. And so while maturity is not a prerequisite to be in, it is to be a leader. Because you've gone through a formational set that has settled and resolved many of the issues that we have in our infancy in Christ. And many of the challenges that we have in our sense of identity are settled when we move in maturity towards Christ. And some leaders are put into places of leadership before they've touched those other things. And we've been around some of those folks. I've been one of those guys on occasion. We're not always fun to be around. And so what I want to do now is I want to move us into a time of reflection. Here's the thing that I want to say. Jesus loves your heart. And Jesus has a way of letting us be okay, not with mastery, but with the mystery of who he is and the mystery of how he communicates with us. And so one of the things I want to do is lead us into an exercise of allowing Jesus to show us something. He's here. His spirit is here. He speaks. And not only with words, but also with images. So I want to lead us into time of resting in his presence and then receiving. So if you could do that, just put your pencils down. If it helps you to close your eyes. So Lord, we just pray right now as we take some deep breaths. And as we focus on receiving, just posture yourself to receive. Lord, we just want to thank you that your presence is with us. And we want to pray now, I pray, for consecrated imaginations that we can experience you. And Lord, I just ask now that your protection would come around us in the powerful name of Jesus. I thank you that you are a wall of protection between us and anything the enemy would want to bring in the way of a distraction, a discouragement, a deception, in Jesus' name. And I pray now for your angels to come and stand as an honor guard and just minister to us. And now, presence of the Lord, come and speak. Now, as you're in this place of resting, ask Jesus to show you a picture of your heart. As we move into this song, talk to Jesus about what you're seeing. when Jesus came on the scene after being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. He came out of the wilderness in power. And he went to the synagogue and he opened the scroll and he read out of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland of peace instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting, so that they would be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You know, Jesus' purpose is first and foremost to bring healing to the brokenhearted. And some of us, you saw a beautiful picture of your heart. And others, not such a pleasant image, maybe, I don't know. But the good news is your heart matters. And when we think about the brokenhearted, we usually think about the really messed up people, but I just want to say that every single one of us who have experienced some form of loss, any one of us that has had something taken from us, we've experienced a wounding and we've experienced a brokenness in our hearts. And Jesus knew that. I mean, he knew that the effects of the fall from the garden were reaping brokenness all throughout humanity, and that's why he came. And that's why the declaration of his desire to bring wholeness to your heart is so important for us. The word broken is the same as fragmented. Now, don't think that just because it's fragmented or it is a piece of, that it doesn't have life. And don't think that it's because it's fragmented, it's silent. The broken places of your heart have voice, and they have agenda, and they have longing. And what Jesus wants to do is bring the broken places of your heart back, and he wants to bring wholeness to you. Now, your ability to trust and engage and belong is directly linked to where you're at in your healing journey with Jesus. Because many of us, you haven't been given permission to explore your brokenness in the context of church. Some of you, you came out of a highly bounded set. And so your brokenness went into hiding. And therefore, it still remains that your imagination about the future still holds the sting of past traumas. It's like you filter these things about what's life going to be. Actually, what it is you have a hard time being present right now. Because if the past isn't haunting you, the future is frightening you. And that's when we lose hope. And so the Lord is really committed to bringing wholeness into the place of our hearts. And he loves your heart. He absolutely adores your heart. And so it's important for us to listen to what he's saying about our hearts, because the way that the Lord sees you is likely different than the way you see yourself. And it would do us all very well if we were to take Jesus at what he says about you. It really would. And so he wants to not only come into that place of your brokenness, because if it's connected to any sort of loss, because we know that the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. So there are things that have been taken. Your process into wholeness and this healing journey that you're on with Jesus isn't just about you getting things back that were taken. There's not a guarantee that you'll get back what was taken. But what is guaranteed is that Jesus will meet you in that space, and he will actually fill that space. And he will likely give you something that you didn't have even before, it was taken. It's called redemption. It's a beautiful process. And so we don't want to be driven with this need to control or bring order to what we used to have, you know, or we don't need to be paralyzed by fear. We can actually experience new and lasting things with Jesus now. Now, for any of this to happen, you and I have to find safe place with Jesus. So who is the author and the perfecter of your faith? I mean, even when we're kind of bumbling around, kind of clueless, he's committed to this process. And so in order for us to find a safe place, we have to hear. Jesus wants to remind you that he is the safe place. He is the safe place. So in order for you to begin this process or continue deeper into that road of your healing, remember what Jesus is doing and has done for you now. Diane's going to share.
The safe thing. Last time we sang that at Lord George and Lynn's house, I didn't feel safe. But through Chris's encounter moment this morning, God reminded me this morning and yesterday, actually, about a time when my mom and I said to each other, screamed to each other, "I hate you." And we slapped each other. That was traumatic. And so God just showed me himself stroking my face after that incident. So now I feel a little more safe. And I just wanted to share that in case anybody else can relate to that. You know, mother, daughter, whatever issues. But I asked God to heal him, and he just showed up. So thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. What happens when we meet Jesus in those places is we experience transformation. It's different than behavior modification. It's different than even change. Because we can will ourselves to change. And that's all good until the stress of life really hits. And we have these conflicts internally where we know the truth about who God's made us to be, and we can stand on his promises, and we can recite scripture, and we can apply that truth, which it is truth. And yet when the stressors hit, we revert to a former pattern of how we've behaved, this dysfunctional behavior. Jesus is more interested in the heart, and he's more interested in healing the wounds, and that brings legitimate transformation, which when the stressors hit, you look at it from a different vantage point. You experience it differently because of the experiences that you've had with Jesus. And some of you, you have a hard time with this idea of imagination. Where Jesus met Diane this morning, was that in her imagination? I believe it was, and I would not disqualify that, nor would I minimalize that. I would actually say that what you experienced in the Lord this morning was a spiritual thing that connected deeply to your heart. And what that does is it changes the way that we think. It reforms our thought processes, literally. And so we know in Scripture that we're encouraged to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. And we also know that in 1 Corinthians 2:9, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the mind has not imagined all that God has prepared for those who love him, for those who are center set. Your mind has not imagined all the things that God has for you. And so when we even read in Jeremiah, how often when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the Lord would ask this question, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" So we understand that there are levels of understanding. We have to get to terms with the fact that there is intellectual knowledge, but if you leave it at the place of intellectual knowledge and hope that that transforms your life, then what you're applying, honestly, is a tool to fix something that's broken, and the tool itself is broken. We have to understand that there's emotional knowing. There is sensory intelligence. There's spiritual intelligence. There's relational intelligence. There's experiential knowing. There's aesthetic wisdom that can come from beauty and nature. There are all sorts of ways that God speaks to us and communicates with us and encounters us so that we can be transformed as our minds are being renewed. I've said it before that the mind is a better student than it is a teacher. There are deep things that God is doing in the place of your spirit and in the place of your heart that when your mind gets connected with what's happening, we've often said this, I know it in my head, I just need it to make that journey 18 inches down into my heart. Well, let me just tell you this, you actually know it in your heart more than you know it in your head. What needs to happen is the truth needs to make the 18-inch journey up into the place of your thinking. And the way that you experience that is by literally experiencing Jesus. How many of you know that that's how Jesus does it? It's so amazing. And so if we're not careful, we'll resort to this transformational life by applying the bounded set's value for mastery. This is mysterious stuff that God's doing. And so we want to give ourselves freedom to experience that. We want our minds renewed. And in order for that to happen, you have to come into a safe place with Jesus. And so one of the things I wanted to do then is not just apply more information to you. I actually wanted you to have experience that was an episode. It was an actual event. Whether it was in the physical or in the place of your imagination, the thing about us human beings is our imaginations are really powerful. Your imagination affects you. How many of you know that Jesus has redeemed your imagination? You have the mind of Christ. That he has placed himself in your life in such a way that the covenant, the promise of God, is that he would put his ways on your heart. And so the difference between changing and transformation is that transformation endures. And change relies on willpower alone. And it's really short-lived when your wounds are triggered. And so let Jesus come into those places. I'm telling you, this is a road we're on. And it's not just a unique sort of nuance to who we are as a fellowship. This was Jesus' purpose that he established on his first sermon. I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. I've come to make you whole. I've come to set you free. I've come to open your eyes. I've come to give you ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. I've come to bring life and liberty to you. Can you hear it? It's good news.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.